Good morrow, and welcome back to The Realm. I am epic fantasy author J.V. Hilliard, your friendly neighborhood scribe. And for those of you marking your first adventure into my realm, this is a vast and sweeping domain where I feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis. And each of those creatives specialize in a different art form. And tonight we've got someone who's an author and a poet. So hang tight, you're going to like that. And as always, if you like what you hear, you can find me in my epic and dark fantasy books at jvhilliard.com or follow me at jvhilliardbooks on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and YouTube, or look for me just as J.V. Hilliard on Facebook and Discord. And for those of you that are listening this evening, check out our sponsor, Altered Reality Magazine. AlteredRealityMag.com will take you to that site. It's a site for speculative poets and speculative fiction writers. So if you're a fan of things like horror, or you like sci-fi, or you like fantasy stuff, things about monsters, anything that you'll find that's speculative in either the fantasy genres for books and or poetry, you'll find on that site. Check it out. We have award-winning authors and poets all the way down to first time people getting published. Check out the site. We get about 190,000 visits there a year, alteredrealitymag.com, and we appreciate their support. And tonight we're chronicling the adventures of a fellow speculative fiction scribe himself, Timothy Robert. Timothy, welcome to The Realm.
Thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure, man. Well, tell our listeners a little bit about you, what you write, and a little bit about what you got going on right now.
Okay. I write poetry. A lot of it's pretty emotional and raw, which is how I believe poetry should be. Other than that, I'm focused on a fantasy series that involves elves, humans, animal humanoids, a lot of war, politics, but it also gets into a lot of the nitty-gritty of what humans go through, I think. I try to portray that. I'm currently working on book 6 of the series, having book 2 edited by Writer Journey Services, and trying to get book 1 of Tales of Battle out there a little bit more. And book 2 will be coming pretty soon. So I'm getting pretty ahead of the series, actually, at the moment.
That's good. That's a rare thing for authors. So congratulations on that. Tell us, I mean, I think the big question is why... What has inspired you to write as much as you are on animal humanoids? I think that's a really cool concept. People like that in a variety of ways. If you're a fan of speculative fiction, you like it because it's different. You like it because they're shapeshifting. You like it because sometimes it's scary. Other times it's fun. Like, you know, I can think of a number of outlets that use these for comic relief and things like that. Why you and why animal humanoids?
I think I was heavily influenced by Redwall early on. It's like the first series I remember reading and just being in like fifth grade or fourth grade and being like, wow, that's really cool. It'd be cool if they're more human-based. And then aside from that, I took a class in university and it was all about writing animals and portraying animals and how they're used to kind of portray human issues on a different level that you can use animals for that kind of conveys different emotions in humans. And obviously, you know, Americans, for instance, were really into dogs, so stories with dogs and stuff really hit us very differently. So adding different aspects of that, I think, was fun. I also just like to do things a little bit different, and I'm much more of an animal lover than a human lover, probably, in general. So I would say that, I mean, I was working at a gas station, and I just came up with a fox and a jaguar, and it kind of just happened, and I ran with it.
Well, it's funny because, look, you're talking to a guy that has two dogs. So I'm in the category of I'll read, watch, listen to anything that has a dog in it. So I'm with you there. But you chose one animal in a fox, which is what I would describe as maybe more commonly used. And then you chose the jaguar, which is not unique, but less commonly used. I would say uncommonly used. How about that? Why did you choose those? Was there some sort of kindred spirit that drew you to them, some sort of totem aspect of it? I mean, what brought you to a fox and a jaguar?
I adore foxes in general. I've seen them all throughout my life. And I think there's kind of something unique about their, you know, their face, their sound, their look, and the ways they live. So I thought it'd be kind of a fun character to write. And the jaguar kind of just happened because I wanted it to be a little more unique, but it kind of just fell in because I thought of a character that was really beautiful and kind of regal, but also a little bit ruthless and powerful. And, you know, watching videos of jaguars, you can see, you know, them hauling up animals bigger than them up trees. And they're also really beautiful while they do it. And I thought that was a really cool pairing to have, somebody that's really beautiful and handsome, but also ruthless and kind of godly in battle type of instance.
Yeah, and you know, the jaguar stuff too. I mean, that's an animal that is worshipped in some areas of the world, right? It's a really interesting play there, and you're right, it does have sort of that regal look. I think a lot of the large cats do. They all have their own special look or specialty to them, which I think draws us to them as well. But let's talk a little bit about your Tales for Battle series. I saw you recently revealed the cover for your second book. Tell us a little bit about that, and you know, is the second book going to, you know, have a new set of characters, or it's going to be more of a, you know, a series? We're going to get a lot of the revisitations of the first book, or how is that going to play out for you?
So I kind of do away with a lot of characters and I bring in new characters. I have it, you know, it's a lot of battles and stuff that happen, so I like to have it pretty realistic. Book two is very different in the way that I start bringing in the magical components, and you know, there's a deeper magical entity that comes, which is very different than book one. And it's kind of my bridge to book three, as, you know, book twos often are. They're often kind of utilized as bridges. And I think this one brings in a lot more of the mystical elements while also maintaining a lot of the main characters. And then you get to know other characters a little bit better from across the world from where this one mostly takes place. That will also be really important for book three. And then also, you know, book one mentions a lot about the Mighty Lions, which we often think about as kings and everything. And they end up coming back into book two because they're not really in book one. They're just mentioned. So it's kind of fun to bring them in. So it's kind of a little more chaotic in that way. I would say book one is kind of like a welcome to the world. And then book two kind of explodes everything to prepare you for book three.
So Timothy, we've been talking about your Tales of Battle series, and when I was doing my research on you, I noticed that you're already on book six. Is there going to be a limit here? Do you know how many books you're going to write, or is this something that's going to be a continuing saga, you know, in this world that you've created?
It's tough to say because I thought it was originally going to be three books, and then I missed my world, so I wrote a fourth, which was a prequel way back in time. And then I ended up writing a fifth that was kind of supposed to be just a fun side mission. And now I really missed my main characters. And I was like, I need a really big hurrah of all of these characters and the different interactions that can happen. So I kind of just started writing book six because I was at, I was either in church or at a Buddhist meditation. I can't remember. And all of a sudden, all these ideas just started hitting me. And I was like, oh, no way. So I'm like, in the middle of this meditation, trying to text myself some notes to go back to. And I just started writing and I was like, I guess I'm doing a book six. And I think that will probably be the end. I think it'll be my last goodbye to a series I've been working on for so many years now. And I think that's okay because I have another series that I'm interested in working on. So
that might be the coolest answer to a very simple question that I've ever gotten. You know, I mean, I was in a Buddhist meditation when I had this, but let's talk about that for a second, because it seems to me like you're a bit of a world traveler. I know that in your bio, you mentioned you've been to over 60 countries. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask what your favorite country to visit was, or some of your favorite countries. And how did you get the traveling bug?
It's such a hard question. Greece is up there because I've been there five times now and I love everything about it. Mongolia, Norway, and Guatemala are probably round out my top five because they're all really amazing in their own way. I mean, and a lot of them are really rustic and they're not crazy touristed at this moment. So that's pretty awesome. And I originally got it because, you know, in university, I was studying the Romantic poets and all of them went to Italy and Greece as like a maturity of writing. It's like how they became a real writer. They went to Italy and Greece and then they went back home and then they were like real poets basically. And I was like,
almost like their own pilgrimage, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, well, I'm going to do what they did because it worked for them. And I also was obsessed with Greece and Rome growing up, of course, as I feel like probably a lot of boys are. And I did it, and I ended up going to Egypt on that trip, which was not planned, but I had like 5 days, and I was like, I'm going to go. And then I just, from that moment on, I I went through a lot of trials and tribulations, like severe food poisoning, being alone. And I also met a lot of really, really cool, kind people, some of which I still keep in contact with. So just based off of what it did for me as a person and what I experienced, the people I met and the things I saw, I was like, this is what I want to do in life. I want to, you know, work hard, but then also go and see everything the world has to offer, the good, the bad, and the whole middle ground.
Well, I'm sure based on what you just said that your travel has inspired something in your novels. Can you point at a couple of references of things that you saw in real life that have been baked into your novels in some capacity?
Oh yeah. I mean, my queendom in Tales of Battle that gets more in book 2 and 3, it's based off of Egypt basically. And my queen is like kind of just a badass, sexy queen. Kind of like I imagine Cleopatra to be. I based some people off of like, or some tribe off of like Mongolian hordes. I'm bringing in, I just went to Uzbekistan and I really want to bring in some of their architecture into my book. So I kind of try to bring in a little piece of places that, especially really authentic places that have things to offer in that only that small area compared to the rest of the world. And I like to try to implement that to the best of my ability.
How do you, so, I mean, with all the travel you do, I know there's, you said you've been to 49 states. So again, I would be remiss not to ask you this. I mean, what state have you missed and are you going to try to make it there?
Arkansas, which is always mind blowing to everybody. I will try to make it there eventually. It's just not no offense, Arkansas people. It's just not a state with a lot to go see that makes it worth it from the West Coast at the moment. Not just to go to Arkansas, at least. And I was supposed to go through it when I moved to Colorado a few years ago. And I just had a really long road trip already. And I was like, nah, I'm going to skip it. Which now I regret because I can't say I've been to all 50.
Yeah, you could have knocked it off your bucket list, man. Just click that. Well, that happened. So tell us a little bit about, we've talked a lot about your novels. Talk a little bit about your poetry. What are you working on now? And what are you most proud of?
I have 5 or 6 beta readers in on my poetry book coming out, which is called Writing with Wolves. It's pretty much all about nature, my relationship with nature, and then also I'm part Indigenous, so a lot of it brings in being part Indigenous and being kind of on the outside in both worlds, because I know a lot of people that feel this way, so it's kind of been a long time coming. People that are mixed race or people that, I had a good friend in Mexico that he's born in America, but his family is born in Mexico and he doesn't feel American and he doesn't feel Mexican and he goes to each and doesn't feel at home. I kind of feel that too, because some tribes don't accept me. Everybody wonders what I am, because even when I was just in Uzbekistan, they're like, what are you? Are you Uzbek? And I was like, no. So it deals a little bit with kind of the issues of being not really having a place to belong and then kind of belonging in nature, but also the beauty and tragedy of nature itself and the tragedy and beauty of cities. So it kind of brings like my heritage and then my relationship with nature all into one.
Super cool, man. And look, we're coming to the end of our time here. So I got to jump to this lightning round because I have a few questions I'm going to ask based on what we've talked about, but I am certain we can wax poetic about the places you've been and why you traveled there. I do have to admit too, I went to Pitt undergrad. So I saw you're on, so hail to Pitt. I saw that we're alumni brothers together in some capacity there too. But are you ready to play our lightning round?
Absolutely.
All right. So the easy one, I'm going to stay on the travel theme here for a second. So I know you've talked about the places that you love to go in the world, but tell me about one of your favorite undiscovered spots that you would recommend to somebody. So whether it's Greece, whether it's you know, Laos, wherever, if you're there, this is the place that Tim says you got to go.
Undiscovered. I would probably, the first thing that pops to mind is Karkarin, which is in Mongolia, way out. And I'm sure some people probably go there, but it's so desolate and it's just like an old capital city. What they call a capital city, which is not a city anymore. And you're just surrounded by nature and there's not really anything around and like no dirt roads. So for me, I would say that's where you have to go, but it also depends on how you like to travel.
Yeah, that sounds to me like you're there's no glamping there.
No, you're in a very rustic yurt, and I mean, I had like a little wild cat that slept in my tent.
Yeah, well, there you go. So a lot of our listeners are not just readers, but they're also authors. So I want you to give a little bit of a tip to them. So what's the best money as an author or a poet you've ever spent? And what is the worst money that you've spent?
Oh gosh, best money spent is editing for sure. I mean, and I know a lot of people are like, "Oh, it's expensive," but it really changes your book for the better and really helps you kind of see your book from an outside perspective. So that's the best. Worst money, and I'm gonna get hate for this probably. I did pay for a review once, which I was not wanting to do, and I was like, "But I want to see if this actually works," which it didn't. And it wasn't that much money, but it's still a stupid waste of money and also just very inauthentic. So it's actually probably one of my bigger regrets.
Well, I get that too. A lot of folks have fallen victim, me included on that. Some of them, I don't mind if they are, you get more than just the review. Like the review is an ancillary. It's almost like a, you're doing a book tour or you're doing a, a blog tour of stuff, and you're on an interview and you're a guest on their blog stuff. That makes sense. But you're right, the inauthenticity of someone writing a review because you paid him to write a review is a little bit over the top. I just beg, borrow, and plead. Last question. There's a library and it's on fire, and you can run in and save only one book, and it can't be one of yours. Which book would you grab and why would you grab it?
Oh my gosh, I have three books that come to mind, but I'm going to pick Anthem by Ayn Rand, which is also going to be very controversial to people, I'm sure. I would grab it because I think Anthem really calls in our struggle with individuality and what can come of the world and what the world is. And I think it's more complex than people give it credit for. So I would definitely grab that. And I think people reading it, I think it's a relatively quick read, and I think it can really kind of inspire us, but also it's almost educational, and it kind of can be a guide in some ways as far as fiction goes.
Well, you picked a popular author because I get that name a lot when I ask that question. So you're the
Really?
first one to say Anthem, but it's a popular author. Hey, I don't know. Maybe it's just a random thing, but we've had it two or three times. So well done. Well, look, man, we're coming to the end of our duration here together. Remind everybody where they can find you, where they can follow you on social media, and where they can buy your stuff.
At Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, at writing or at author T Robert, at Threads and Instagram, at Writing with Wolves 22. I also try to have an Instagram, author T Robert, so I'm doing my best on that if you want to follow that. And you can find my stuff currently at Amazon. Cause I'm trying to get an Ingram Spark, but it's giving me troubles. So Amazon currently. Yeah, that's about it. Oh, and at TikTok at author T Robert.
Well, Timothy, thank you very much for coming on the show. We really do appreciate your time. And to our followers out there, thanks again for lending us your ear today. And until next time, I am JV Hillier, and may your gods go with you.